I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You gotta let this one marinate for Tom Petty, 1 week from Sunday.
When she was an American girl, raised on the promises, she couldn't help thinking that there was a little more life somewhere else. After all, it was a great big world with lots of places to run to.
Reference on that, Silence of the Lambs, which I believe Wiggy said is one of his favorite films. I don't think you didn't like the sequels, though.
No,
right?
I didn't mind Silence of the Lambs. And okay. Then what was it, Hannibal?
Yeah.
Put the lotion in the basket.
It got a little unbelievable when Hannibal Lecter removed a portion of the head of Ray Liotta, and spoiler alert, and Ray Liotta was still talking. Yeah. That was a tad bit unbelievable to me.
It's the movies. Going back, because you're the one who said this is the way you can win. So I went back and did a little numbers research, okay? Yeah. And since 2010, yes. I went all the way back to the Patriots average season 2010, 32 points, 2011, 32 points, 2012, 34 points, 2013, 27 points, 14, 29, 15, 29, 16, 27, 17, 28, 18, 27, and 19, 26th, which was 26 points a game, which was their lowest at Brady's last year, and that would put them in seventh. Okay. So you're talking about two different eras, and when we won our first Super Bowl, we averaged 23 points a game, and that put us sixth. The league is completely different.
And that year, Wiggy, it was Silence of the Rams.
Yes, it was.
So was your
put the football in the basket.
Was your expectation that a rookie quarterback, whomever it was, doesn't have to be Mac Jones,
okay,
was going to go out there week one in the NFL and throw up 32 points?
Well, maybe not week one.
Okay. What
maybe
about
not
week
32
two?
Points.
What about week two? We are
24 points. 27
We're two
points
weeks into it.
All right, 24, 27 points.
Okay, so you're very concerned about this offense with Mac Jones as its quarterback,
aren't you?
No, I'm not.
What do you need to see out of him in week three this week to get you excited
that
about
him? That they when they get in the red zone, they can score touchdowns. So if they make four red zone appearances, come away with three touchdowns. If you make two red zone appearances, come away with one touchdown at least, right? So when you look at what you're doing, look at last year. Week two, how many points did the Pats score?
30.
Week three?
36.
Okay. Now you tell me your offense is better this year, which I believe it is. You have more talent. You say you tell me you have a better quarterback. So you should be putting up those type of numbers.
Is the O-line better this year right now?
Yeah, you tell me it is.
It is not. Tooney's gone and Brown's out.
Okay, so last year you had Jermaine Illuminor and you had Ferentz at times. You had Haran at times. Now, this year you tell me before the season you have the best offensive line. So now that one guy is out, the O-line is no longer good?
It's a pretty important person, Wiggs.
Okay, look at last year's O-line. The O-line was in shambles. We never talked about the offensive line. We talked about the fact that Cam Newton couldn't get the job done.
This is Jay from North Carolina. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guy. Good morning, people. Good morning. Silence of the Rams. Nice throw. Nice throw. Anyway, yesterday you guys were talking about Tom Brady and what does he need. And I said to myself, he needs more money because Giselle ain't carrying the load. But anyway, what I wanted to ask you folks is not looking past the New Orleans Saints because they're a legitimate team. They are legitimate. What do you think Mac Jones is going to face for the most difficult defensive alignment that the New Orleans Saints is going to throw against him? Do you have any ideas on that?
Well, the New Orleans Saints defensive line is pretty good. You start with Cameron Jordan, and then in the back end, you got Marshawn Lattimore just signed a new contract. So you got a lockdown corner. Ty Law sits on this show and says, there ain't no wide receiver that scares him.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know the quarterback isn't willing to throw to wide receivers unless they're running 5-yard routes or less, don't you think the New Orleans Saints are looking at that?
If Ty Law is suggesting that the problem is the wide receivers, maybe that is why Mac Jones is not throwing to them or Josh McDaniels is not instructing him.
Do you have a better wide receiver core this year than you did last year?
I would hope you did. You went out and spent a lot. You went out and spent a lot of money on it. I mean, has Hunter Henry lived up to the expectation that you had for him?
Well, I mean, as of right now, he really hasn't. But the only time he throws him the ball is when he's running down the seam wide open. We've seen, you know what? We've seen last year, and say what you want. You can criticize Cam all you want last year, but we've seen him, and at times maybe he was kind of, you know, wasn't smart on his point, but we've seen him throw balls into coverage. We've seen him throw one into Julian Edelman down the seam where there was a guy all over him, went off of Julian Edelman's hands, but at least show me that you're willing to push the ball downfield. Like Curtis says, does he even know where the end zone is on the football field?
Yeah, no, he doesn't know. Mac Jones does not know where the end zone is.
Well, that's something meanwhile, we should probably get figured out before Sunday. I mean,
meanwhile, he completed 74% of his passes.
So
on
you
Sunday.
Complete a bunch of checkdowns, Greg.
Yes, yeah, you do. And you're a rookie quarterback in your second game in the NFL.
So now that's what we're looking at. We're looking at if he goes 20 of 25. And 19 of those passes, the checkdowns to running backs, we're cool with that. When we heard when Cam was doing that in practice, we were all calling him the checkdown king.
Mm-hmm. Here's Matt with a question for you. Hello, Matt.
Sure thing.
Hey, good morning. First, Courtney, you're doing a great job on the show. Your takes are well thought out, and they're pretty much spot on.
Thank you, Matt.
Let's get to the other end of the spectrum. Hey, Wiggy, why are you mad Mac Jones took your boy's job?
Listen. I told you.
No, you're mad. You're super critical.
I root for the
super
team.
Critical. Two games in.
I root for the team. Everybody was super critical last year, two games in. So I root for the team. What do you mean, am I? I always root for the team. Let me ask you something. Matt.
You're putting Mac on blast.
No, I'm not putting him on blast. I'm just calling like I see it. Do you feel confident in this offense?
Like
Do you feel confident in this offense to score points?
Two games in, they're working their way through some progressions. Offensive line was shaky. Look at the Miami game.
Okay.
People were saying, oh, he needs to throw the ball downfield. Dude was getting smoked. They were in the backfield. Wiggy.
Right.
Come on, Matt, let
me ask you this question. Why didn't you say the same thing last year when Cam was your quarterback, that the offensive line stunk and he was getting smoked in the backfield?
How you know what I'm saying? I'm saying it right now. You're holding on.
I'm asking the question.
You can't generalize.
No, I'm asking the question. When Cam was getting smoked last year because the offensive line was getting demolished, so there was no talent that around him, why weren't you making the same excuse?
Because he looked like a deer. He looked like a deer in the headlights half the time.
At least I can answer a question when somebody asked me.
I have one question for you.
Sure.
You go back and say there was no talent on the field, okay? So now they upgrade all these positions.
Yep.
Are they more talented?
Yes.
Are they?
You don't think
they
are
on paper?
Oh, wait a second.
They're on paper. Are things gelling in the offense where people are where they're supposed to be?
Are they more talented this year? They got two tight ends this year, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Last year it was Izzo? No, LaCrosse didn't even play. It was Izzo and my boy Asiasi at times when he played, and Dalton Keene. Their wide receiver group is Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, and Jacoby Myers. Last year it was Damaire Byrd, N'Keal Harry, and Jacoby Myers. This year on paper, they're better. Their offensive line, you tell me, is supposed to be better this year.
I'm only suggesting that if you have an issue with the offense,
right?
I believe that is on the offensive coordinator, not on Mac Jones. All I'm suggesting
to
you.
And I think a lot of players talked about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Adrian Phillips was saying that Mac Jones' confidence is a 10 out of 10, and that like veteran players in this Patriots locker room right now are saying Mac Jones is so confident. He's in every conversation. He wants to learn, but that he's ready to do it. So to me, the guys in the locker room are saying that he's confident in his ability.
That doesn't fit Wiggy's narrative.
No, it has nothing to do with the narrative.
Yes, it does. Your narrative is that they got rid of Cam and Mac Jones is no better.
My narrative
is that we're all coddling Mac Jones. That's your narrative.
My narrative is that you are coddling Mac Jones. And my narrative is that last year when the offense struggled, it was never about what was going on around Cam. It was always about Cam. This year when the offense struggles, it's never about what's going on with the quarterback. It's about what's around him.
I agree with you that two people could do the same exact thing, and we're talking completely different about Mac Jones than it is.
That's all I'm saying.
But you're also putting more pressure on Mac Jones.
One is a 10-year veteran MVP who went to a Super Bowl.
Last year, Curtis, and you could be the witness of this. When you said that, Curtis is not even paying attention, but don't worry about it.
I'm sorry, Ken and I were having a meeting.
Yeah, no. Last year when people said that, they go, that was 5 years ago that he was an MVP, that he went to the Super Bowl. Cam's not that same guy no more. Now all of a sudden, now it's last year Cam was an MVP and this, that, and the other. But when you said that last year, that was 5 years ago.
But I do think you need to take into account what guys that are actually in the locker room right now are saying about Mac Jones.
I know what they're saying.
He's down to third.
I know what they're saying about Mac Jones.
Because we were talking about his confidence yesterday.
But when you watch this team offensively, do you have confidence that they can go out there and win a game where they have to score 28 points?
I don't think we've seen enough out of Mac Jones yet to determine that.
But we it doesn't matter.
Me some of that Mac sauce in my dinner.
Last year, through the first 2 weeks, we look at what we see and we say, okay, can they go out there and score points? How's this offense look? Through the first two games, can you look at this offense and go, based on what we've seen, they can win a game where they got to go out there and score 28 or 30 points?
This is Caleb from Mansfield. What's up, Caleb?
That's how I feel right now listening to this conversation.
Yep.
I don't get how we haven't touched on the real issue. I'm going to have a quick side note before I get to the direct point.
Yeah.
Wiggs, Greg is well within his rights to mention Cam's background because he's not talking about his performance. He's talking about conceptually what you should be able to handle as a play caller in the playbook. It should be vastly different for a 10-year vet than a second-game rookie.
Talking about his talent. Caleb, hey, the difficult thing was identifying the mic.
Okay.
That was a real issue.
That was
he'd never had to do that before.
And so my main point is this. On paper, we have made some upgrades at receiver, yes. But we are still not getting any separation from our defenders at that position. And when you get to the red zone and you cannot create separation, you can't throw it in the end zone because nobody's open. And this is the problem Cam had. This is the problem Tom Brady had his last year. We remember Tom Brady's last year, it was like, 30% of his throws, I felt. He looked at the defense, hiked the ball, and he said, oh, that's right, we suck, and he threw it in the dirt. Like, we are still having trouble getting separation from defenders. And I think Mac knows where the end zone is. He's not a check down king. He made some great throws on the run against Miami that were called back because of holding. Like, he avoided a sack, rolled to his right, to a 25-yard strike to Bourne in stride, called back because of holding. You know, we're having some miscues. We clean that up week two. But these receivers, guys, they're not getting separation. I don't know why we're not talking about that. So yeah, that's my main point.
It's a great point.
Oh, it's a great point this year. When I said this, receivers couldn't get separation, people are like, oh, it's the NFL. The quarterback's got to be able to put the ball where it needs to be put. Now, all of a sudden, it's the receivers can't get separation.
All right.
Man, I wish I had a fraudulent bell or something, Ken, that you could ring.
Coming up tomorrow, it is a Patriots Friday, and that means that Devin McCourty will join us around 6:30 or thereabouts tomorrow morning. Coming up at 9, Red Sox front office report with Chaim Bloom, and I may owe him an apology when it comes to what he did at the trade deadline.
He just sent me a text. It just said, how do you like D's nuts?
So Chaim Bloom, the chief baseball officer of the streaking Boston Red Sox, the 7-win in a row Boston Red Sox, will join us coming up at 9. Here is Canada, what is trending.
NFL Sunday, this Sunday before the game.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Visit the 99 restaurant every Sunday. It's football frenzy, Greg. Great dining deals, $5.99 full-size apps, 59-cent bone-in wings, and a chance to win game tickets. And if you're watching at home, order online for curbside pickup or delivery. The 99 is always the real deal. How many wins in a row, Joe?
7!
7, my friend. And Schwarb's on fire.
And as Joe noted, his third season of 30 or more home runs as a major leaguer. He hits another high fly ball way back in right field. Towering blast and gone over the Mets bullpen. Kyle Schwarber's second home run of the night. Both of them towering fly balls launched way over the fence.
That is a great sound. Now, is Schwarber here to stay? That's the further question. If you only pass this season, Greg, how much per year for him for a multi-year deal?
Somebody's going to pay him big bucks.
Would
it 20, 25? Your guess?
I don't have a guess. I don't think Bloom will answer that.
Cam Newton money? 25?
I mean, he's 28, so he's not old. He's obviously not the first base answer that you want.
No.
But you got a prospect for that. Anyway, that's looking ahead too far. 9 games to go in the season. Red Sox have a 2-game lead on the Yankees, who did win yesterday. 2.5 up on Toronto. Yankees series is coming Friday, Saturday, Sunday. A couple of night games at a 4:10 start Saturday. Nathan Eovaldi versus Gerrit Cole Friday could be a wild card preview, Greg. If you think it's going to be the Yankees, that could be the matchup. Big series. Come on, Wicks. Rivalry. Rivalry tomorrow night.
Well, I've been looking at stuff, so I want great.
How many have they won?
7!
7 in a row. Oh, 7, which is great. Through the first 7 games of last year, roll this up, put this in your blunt, and smoke it. Joe Burrow, 5 games where the team scored over 25 points. Justin Herbert, 4 games where the team scored over 25 points.
Can we get back
points.
To Mucinex?
Well, I'm just saying, clear your throat on that one.
What's going to be
Let
a tougher
clear my throat? No, I'm demanding that rejoin when we return for Wiggy, please.
Tougher ticket, Greg.
DJ Cool?
1-game playoff or Brady returns?
Ooh, I think it's the return of Tom Brady, I would assume.
Of course, it's not even close.
It's close?
No, it's not close.
The Saints game means more than that Bucs game. That Bucs game is just a sideshow. This Sunday's the real game, and that Yankees series. A 1-game wild card against the Yankees on a Tuesday night, that is going to be a hot ticket.
That'll be a tough ticket.
I agree with you, Ken, that the Saints game is more important than the Bucs game, but yeah.
Fan interest
is all over that Bucs game.
Come on, Greg. You're getting into Fenway for that one.
Yeah, right? I want to go to it. I don't know how much it's going to cost me. I mean, I always pay for tickets, so I don't know how much I'm willing to spend. But,
I've been to a few of these wild card games. It is awesome. It is just like everything is on the line.
Is it electric?
It is electric.
Courtney likes when you call things electric.
It is a goosebump type of feel.
Doesn't Odyssey have a suite there, though? So can't you just always go?
I
don't accept any kind of complimentary tickets at any at venues or anything like that. It's not my thing.
I'll take a complimentary ticket to that one.
Not my thing.
A lot of good football talk today on Gresh and Keith. They've got the rap sheet, Ian Rappaport, Michael Irvin as well. Matt Judon missing practice yesterday. One to watch there with a knee issue. Trent Brown limited. Damien Harris limited as well. Kyle Van Noy did return. NFL Sunday on the road this weekend. Don't miss Wiggy and company at Howl at the Moon at Patriot Place, 9 a.m. That's Greg's place.
We're going to make a ton of excuses on why this offense isn't playing well. It's the receivers, can't get open, the O-line, the play calling. Oh, when I criticized the play calling last year and I asked Cam Newton about it, everybody's like, oh, it's not Josh's fault. Well, Things change in a year, boy. I'll tell you that.
You can stop by and say hello to Wiggy and to Rich.
We'll be
and
there.
To Foyer and to Gresh.
Mac Jones did talk yesterday, Greg. Maybe this is something we can play later in the show. He talked about being conservative, basically the Wiggy accusations. Ooh.
Can't and say why the C word.
And why he sometimes that's the right call. I think it's a good answer from Mac. We'll do that maybe later in the show. If you'd like. It's your show.
Yeah, I would like to. It's Curtis's show. We learned that earlier.
Yes, we did.
Not my show. Curtis's show.
The Chris Curtis Show comes back next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Greg Hill Morning Show.
My calves. I am told I have adorable calves.
Right.
On WEEI.
Ready with the hold that make that money. Let me see those hands again. Hell on the house. Everybody jump. Jump.
Yeah, I think obviously you want to score touchdowns, and you can't be too conservative or too not. You kind of just have to do what you do and read your reads, and the points will come, but at the same time, sometimes you have to know when to call it quits on a play. Like, you know, maybe, hey, this doesn't feel right or something went wrong. So you kind of just have to know when to call it quits and throw it away and move on to the next play. And sometimes the next play is a kick, so you just have to accept that. And it's hard when you're really competitive and you want to keep the play alive or you want to hold the ball or whatever the situation may be. But at the same time, you kind of have a clock in your head of when things are supposed to happen. So.
Doesn't sound like a guy who's afraid to throw the ball in the end zone or throw the ball deep downfield. Doesn't sound like that to me.
Doesn't sound like it, but the stats don't lie. Courtney had some great stats. I don't know if you can. She read them to me off. Yeah, I don't know if you have those stats in front of you.
I do have them.
Now Wiggy has to have stats for lunch.
No, I do have the slides. Could you please read some of these stats?
Per Next Gen Stats, Jones is averaging just 5.6 air yards per attempt, the fifth lowest mark in the league. That's one stat. He has just 15 attempts on throws with 10-plus air yards. He threw the ball just 4.6 yards down the field per attempt. That's the fourth lowest figure in a game so far this season. He and the offense averaged just 4.6 yards per play.
Really, the stats are for losers.
He attempted just two passes that traveled 20 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Here's a stat. His right tackle was some guy named Yasir Durant.
Okay. Right.
And then Max said this.
Hold my nuts.
Now it's the right tackle.
Insignificant. Who cares about the right tackle?
So why were you saying that last year?
Did you see the pocket break? Did you watch the game
Sunday?
Why
were you saying that last year when the tight end completely,
I
believe,
about this often.
Izzo said, hey, you know what? I don't know if you ever met Cam Newton in person, but hey, why don't you go meet him right there in the backfield that almost had hit
the reason we weren't saying it last year is because the checkdown king could not complete the 15-yard checkdown.
Throwaways. When has he seen a 15-yard checkdown? And what I would say about this offense, notice that every play that is ran, there's a check down built in. Why is that? Maybe because, you know, our quarterback isn't that confident yet in his skills to push the ball downfield. So I gotta add.
Or is he just playing it safe though?
So you're gonna wait till you face one of the best teams in the league to open it up? That's not a smart move. You would have thought he would have did that last week against the Jets.
This is Doug. Hello, Doug.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I have two quick questions and also a point note. Tom Brady in his first year, 2001, threw 18 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. That sounds kind of Mac Jones-like, don't you think? But my point is this. Wiggy, why can't you acknowledge the fact that a 10-year veteran, former MVP, is going to be looked at and expected different performance than a brand-new quarterback? And don't you also think that the stats from this year's Patriots are going to pretty much mirror Brady's stats from 2001?
Yeah, but, Doug, just like I said a million times, and I'll say it a million and one times.
The league has changed.
The league has changed. In 2001.
But Belichick's approach to the game hasn't changed.
Yeah, but
still plays this way.
In 2001, we won a Super Bowl where we averaged 23 points a game, and that was sixth in the NFL. I gave you what their numbers were when they won their next Super Bowls from 2010 on.
Most rushing yards through 12 games, 1,811 yards.
You can't win that way. Watch any football game.
I love stats. Can we get more stats on the program, Curtis?
I love stats.
Most rushing attempts. Really compelling. This year is number compelling.
100% of me is totally bored.
Stats are fine when you're throwing out the completion percentage.
At 398. Yeah. Oh, 2012, they had three more.
I'm not going to lie. I'm impressed with the rookie through three games. I am. But I'm a neophyte.
Let me ask you this. What impresses you?
Yards per attempt.
His composure.
Thanks, Dale. Okay, his composure.
His confidence.
Okay, his confidence in what way?
I look at the guy, and he doesn't look like the guy last year who appeared to be confused and didn't know that he was on a football field.
So composure, okay, I'll give you that one.
4.55 yards per rushing attempt.
I understand he had COVID or whatever.
All right,
that was a big issue for him. But
I'm talking about his play.
Rushing touchdowns.
All right.
Thanks, Dale.
Here's Jesse. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Jesse?
It pains me to say I usually am so with Wig, but Wiggy, man, you are so wrong. I was just watching a podcast yesterday, Phil Perry's podcast. He had JT O'Sullivan on, and he's very good at breaking down a film. And he even said, Mac Jones is doing everything that is asked for him. You want some more stats? I'll give you some more. Brady's first game, 13 for 23, 168 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. His second game, Brady, 13 for 23, 168 yards. No touchdown, no picks. A rating of 58.7.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones, his first game, let's see, 29 of 39, 281 yards, a rating of 102.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones' second game, 22 of 30, 186 yards, a rating of 89.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. Mac Jones is doing what he has to do. It's his second career game. My God, Wiggy, wake up.
Yeah. And Brady's
third
first
in the number of threes taken so far this season in the NBA.
Brady's first game, it was he went 5-10. But
okay. So why don't we go back to Steve Grohl's first game?
2012-19.
I mean, let's just keep going back. Let's go back to Joe Montana's first game. And what did Joe Montana do his rookie year?
But people keep comparing, and I know you say that it's a different game. People keep comparing Mac Jones and Tom Brady. So Tom Brady didn't really, if you want to say, open it up until game 4 of his first season.
But let me go the other way.
If Tom Brady will tell you the league is completely different now versus when he got there.
Right.
And if he won't, his uncle will.
Yeah, if he won't tell you, it's definitely his uncle will. Somebody in the Brady squad will tell you.
They're tied for 15 in threes made.
By the way, Jack is set to meet with the media later on today. And nothing that he says will have come from his father. It's just, he's just guessing.
Let's keep Reamer from that press conference.
Hasn't spoken to, near as I can tell, Guerrero, Tom Brady Sr., nobody associated with Tom Brady has spoken to him at all in the last few months. They're just guessing at how he is feeling in anticipation of his return here, his triumphant return. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up?
I had a couple of quick points and a question for Wiggy, but before I get there, I was just curious, don't you think it's way more petty to just not say the names Kirk Minahan or Jerry Callahan over the air and just take shots at them without actually saying their names?
I'm happy to. I'm happy to say anything that anybody wants. You just said it, so I think that's pretty good.
It's just kind of confusing when you go on a rant about how that could be petty, when in reality
about a rant about Tom Brady.
I think we both know that there was a little more meaning there underlined, Greg.
So nobody gets to talk except you.
No, go ahead.
No, you're on the show, so this is. I'm guessing this will be a high point for the month for you. So, what is it that you would like somebody to say, and who would you like to say it?
Well, I guess the only point is that when you bring up points and you're clearly talking about Kirk or
like
Jerry
who,
or any
when,
of the
when, give me an example.
Mike is not
going to listen to anything you say. He's not having
a conversation. I was trying to tell you what he's referring back to when you were talking about Brady leaving his former employer and still talking about it. You said like a radio show, and it was a comment made about, you know, Kirk still talking about the show.
So
even though
do
he's
you
left.
Want me to say
he
that,
wanted you to say his name?
No, okay. I thought he was talking about me, though.
That's what I thought he was talking about.
No, he was talking about me and all the shots that I take at Hot 96.9 at Pebbles, Romero, Melissa. But
is that why Curtis was playing Jerry drops in the background at the same time?
Oh, I didn't hear the
Jerry drops. What Jerry drops did Curtis play?
Well, and I look at the league and I look at Milwaukee and their improvement, right?
I think that's Glenn.
You guys are an absolute joke. Next time you want to actually make shots,
what's the joke?
Don't be so scared that it's going to get dumped out. Don't be so scared that you can't say Kirk or Jerry or
but
any
you've
of the
said
names
it five times. You've said
you
it five.
Like,
nobody's dumping
like,
out. Nobody's dumping out of you. You said it five times.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Don't hang up.
God damn it!
Yeah, he does.
Milwaukee's one of the leaders in threes taken.
Patriots.
Why did he hang up?
People think the Jerry America thing is Kirk taking shots. I get that all the time. I didn't even know that was a thing.
You mean Curtis taking shots?
Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
What, the Jerry America thing?
Yeah.
I think Jerry America is just he's a guy who loves the country.
Right. That's it.
Nothing wrong with that, Curtis.
I love America.
You love America.
I do, too.
It's a great place to live.
Patriots through two games.
Also,
offensively, 20 points a game they're averaging.
Mike shouldn't have hidden his reasoning for calling under
that's the only way he can sneak on.
Yeah, yep.
I think that was brilliant.
Yeah, he said he had
that
a question for Wiggy.
Well,
yes.
Oh, you know why? It's the offensive line. That probably was the question. The offensive
2012, line. 19.
I will say I'm tired of the constant dragging of Pebbles on this radio program.
And look at all the tricks.
She seems like a nice person.
No, she's not a nice person.
She does.
I'm just forewarning you right now. Look at all the trick plays you ran against the Jets. You ran trick plays last year. You said it was because your quarterback wasn't good, so you had to run trick plays. You had to move the ball that way.
I do love, though, that he said the tough guy behind the glass, the guy using a pseudonym, calling in to prank a radio station.
Well, listen, I think the prank call thing is coming back.
It's topical. It's fresh.
It's coming back.
I mean, crank yankers are just hitting their peak.
I think crank yankers actually is coming back.
Wiggy, I do love crank yankers.
That was a funny show. I'm all for good.
I do. Wiggy's like, I do love the Jerky Boys.
Oh, they were good. I'm always down.
Now he has to have jerky for lunch.
I am a huge beef jerky person. I like the teriyaki beef jerky.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Phil?
I was a huge KNC fan, and I was a fan to the point where I didn't listen to you for a while because I was kind of butthurt. Not as butthurt as the guy who just called, because he's to the point where like he's now suffering from cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
So, because I don't think that was a prank. I think that was genuine, like,
anger.
You know, butthurt them.
And
on top of it, what kind of fan is he if you can't even recognize that you're doing, you're doing Ordway drops and you're doing Dale drops? So overall, I just wanted to say that I didn't take that as a shot, because overall, everybody who leaves radio stations always ends up saying something about the previous station if it ends, you know, not amicably. So overall, I think you guys do a good job. I think you've been respectful of the fact that you haven't
taking shots at them, where I think at the end, Kurt made it pretty easy to take shots at them. Overall, I mean, I miss Jerry Alphaman and Callahan. Sorry, Freudian. but overall, I mean, I think you do a great job, and I think you guys have been very respectful, considering it's pretty easy to take shots at the previous, and you're always going to get a ratings bump from the controversy of taking shots.
Yeah.
You guys have been good, and I respect you for it. I like the show a lot, and I even I wasn't sure I was going to like Courtney because I was kind of on the Mego team.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys have been good all the way around, and I love the evolution of Curtis. The evolution of Curtis is amazing. I remember when he used to just say something funny once in a while on the show, and I'd say, God, I need more of that guy. Yeah, I love the evolution.
I've yet to hear anybody refer to Curtis as evolved, so I'm delighted. I'm delighted to hear you say that.
No, he's coming to his own with his personality and getting it out there, because I used to think that, you know, his little insertion of Curtis vibe on the old show was good, and he was funny, and I always wanted more, and I liked the fact that he was very transparent about issues he had and kind of became an inspiration for a lot of people, but then got funnier.
Well,
so
probably maybe the biggest mistake I have made allowing him to speak more, but I'm okay with it.
I do miss how I was treated on the old show.
He is an inspiration.
You would prefer to be treated in a different manner?
Yeah, yes. I mean, usually I get sworn at by Dave, but, you know, hey.
Sounds like Brady didn't like the way he was treated.
I could swear at you if you'd like in the morning when I walk in.
You know what? Life is good.
Would that make you feel more comfortable? I could do that if you want.
I mean, I do need Mucinex, so if we can get back to...
Throw a stapler at you or something like that if you like.
Throw
a
stapler? That's a JV.
Don't do that. Big game Sunday.
Howl at the moon. Go see Wiggy.
Well, no, I want to see what the offense produces. I know what the defense is. I'm confident in the Patriots' defense moving forward. Super confident in their defense. I know people want to kind of get on them a little bit for giving up some run plays. But I'm happy with what I'm seeing from the defense so far. My question, and I've just asked this question, and people, they get all, like that one caller said, butt hurdle over it, is when you look at this offense, and through the first two games, I understand it's the first two games of the season, but can you win a game where you have to score 24, 28, 26 points?
Yeah.
And I just, based on what I'm seeing right now, their inability when they get in the red zone, they've been in the red zone 7 times, and they've come away with 2 touchdowns. So that should be a concern of yours.
All right, well, we will move on to the Red Sox and to the front office report with Chaim Bloom. You better check and make sure it's Chaim Bloom. And he's not gonna try to bring up some other competitive media element. Will you check on that, Curtis, before
I'm
we go
on
to
it.
Him
it
live?
It might be Cashman.
Okay. We will get to Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox front office report coming up next.
It's the Greg Hill Show
on Sports Radio WEEI. It's time to get some intel on the Sox. It's the front office report on EEI.
Front Office Report is brought to you by Unified Office, where they help restaurants maximize revenue and avoid placing customers on hold. See unifiedoffice.com for more. And joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, it is the Chief Baseball Officer of the Boston Red Sox, Chaim Bloom. Hey, Chaim, how are you?
Morning. I'm all right. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. I feel like some of us may owe you a bit of an apology because we were questioning the moves that you made at the trade deadline, and since the term vindicated has been mentioned very frequently lately with regard to Tom Brady, I would ask if after last night or after this a little bit of a run here, if you feel vindicated.
Well, I don't know what to say about the comparison to Tom Brady. But I guess I should take that whenever it comes. But look, I appreciate that. I said at the time of the trade deadline and have said it all along, you know, we can't concern ourselves with what gets said outside of our walls, whether it's good or bad. We're just trying to make good baseball moves and put players in positions to succeed. When they perform well and we win ball games, that's a good thing. We still haven't won anything. We still have work left to do. So we're just focused on that. We're going to focus on keep trying to win ball games and see if we can get into the postseason.
When it comes to the possibility of that one-game playoff and the rotation, did you guys give thought to Chris Sale pitching, starting that game? Or I mean, the rotation does not set up that way now. How did the discussions go internally about that?
Yeah, well, obviously, first of all, we need to make sure we get in. So, you know, the way we have it set up allowed us to maximize Chris just in terms of, you know, how much he could pitch for us in the regular season. You know, we have it lined up to where we can have him available the last day of the season if we need to win that game to get in. That was most important. First things first, obviously, we'll see where we are at that point. Hopefully we can keep winning games and make that unnecessary, but we have to get in first, and so it's lined up in a way that we can go to Chris as many times as possible while still making sure we're keeping him strong.
Haim, back at the trade deadline, you said, I don't know that there's a bat that changed hands the last couple of weeks that I would take ahead of Kyle Schwarber. Obviously, this has played out tremendously for the Red Sox, but back then, an injured Schwarber, what did you see in him that maybe others didn't?
Well, you know, I don't necessarily know that it was something that others didn't see. I mean, he was one of the best hitters in baseball at the time that he got hurt. He was on a hot streak that was historically good at that time. And we had confidence that he was going to be back in a couple weeks. And we had that little hiccup with the groin that sent him back maybe a day or two. But he did come back and kind of picked up right where he left off. I mean, he's been doing this for years. Last year, the short season was a little bit of a blip. But he's been a productive hitter his whole career, not just in terms of the results, but in terms of the approach, the way he controls an at bat. And now seeing it on a day-to-day basis in our uniform, I think it's had an effect really on the entire lineup. There's just no panic there. You know, you saw it two nights ago. You could argue the game-changing at bat was him taking that cutter away from Stroman and hitting it off the wall, I believe with two strikes, if I remember correctly. Just no panic there. He really knows what he's going to look to do up there, and he sees the ball so well it allows him to do a lot of good things at the plate.
Haim, some of us back in April had you guys at the over and under was 87 and picked you to win 90-plus games, and it looks like you're headed on that pace. Did you expect that based on, you know, a lot of people saying that it looks like this could be a rebuild, retool type of season now that you're in a position where you kind of control your own destiny as far as getting into that one game, playing game, and then hopefully making the playoffs?
Yeah, I think the upside was there. We saw that at the time, just going through spring training, seeing how the group was meshing made us feel even more strongly about that. We said all along that we had to, and we still have to do the right things to take care of our future, because we want to win year in, year out, but that we felt there was enough talent there and enough upside to win along the way. Obviously, you need a lot of things to go right to even get to this point. We need them to continue to go right to get to the postseason. We're not there yet, but through the hard work of a lot of folks, a lot of different contributions, the amazing work of our medical staff, keeping our guys healthy, the work our players put in, the work the staff's doing to put them in positions to succeed. You know, we're very, very deep into the season now, and to control our own destiny, to have it right in front of us, to have this opportunity in front of us, that's all you can ask for on opening day. And we're here, and we have to finish the job. We still have to get in, but it's really gratifying knowing how we felt about what this group had a chance to achieve in spring training.
Well, in front of you right now is the rivalry series with the Yankees. How important is it to kind of bury this team, especially as you look towards the playoffs and maybe trying to rest guys that might need it right now?
Yeah, it's obviously not news. It's a huge series, and it's exciting. I mean, this is, you guys know how I feel about, and again, this isn't news either. I feel about this rivalry. It is probably the premier rivalry in all of sports. And for this series to mean as much as it does, again, I think it's a great thing for baseball. It's great for the organization. It's great for our fans. These games are going to matter so much. It's nice to be coming into this series with a lead on those guys, but it's really tight. Every game means a ton, and we have a chance to really put some distance between us and them. It's not going to be easy. They're a really good team. Obviously, they've had ups and downs over the last couple months, but we know what they can do when they're clicking, and nothing about the series is going to be easy, but we also have a group that's playing really well, and it's great to go into the series with some momentum.
Can you repeat that for the benefit of Wiggy? Did you say the greatest rivalry in all of sports? Because he has said over and over again that there's no such thing. There's no rivalry that exists anymore.
Well, you know, I'm probably not the right person to weigh in on this because I'm still kind of a newcomer here, but you know, I'm not sure that there's anything that carries this much weight when you just think about the history of the game and sports history. I mean, again, I'm biased because I'm here and I'm a baseball guy, so it's hard for me to compare it to other sports. But there's just so much history to this. And at the same time, we can't worry about that. Our guys can't worry about that when we take the field. It's a baseball game. There's nine guys on the field. We got to beat the other side, whoever it is. That's going to be the case after this series with our last six games. But I think it's just really cool for, you know, what these games have meant over the years, and to add another chapter to that and have it mean as much as it does coming down in the last week plus of the season is really cool.
Well, I mean, when I had said that at the All-Star break, you were about 10 or 12 games ahead of the Yankees, and the Red Sox have won, what, four World Series in 20 years? And when's the last time the Yankees won anything? So, I mean, I'm from here, but that's me. Now, when you look at this team and you talk about rivalries and how good this team potentially could be, Chris Sale being back, at the beginning of the season, you were a team that was one of the best teams in baseball. Do you feel like with this roster, if you get into the, obviously win that, get into the wild card game and then get into the playoffs, do you feel like this roster is good enough to win a World Series?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that doesn't mean anything's going to be guaranteed. We know, especially, you know, getting in as a wild card, which if we do is obviously the most likely scenario, that the deck is stacked against you a little bit relative to winning a division. But I think the way baseball works, we've seen it over the course of time. If you're good enough to get in the dance, you can win the whole thing. You got to play well for a month. And all the teams that make the playoffs are good enough to win the World Series. And it really comes down to just who executes the best over the course of that month.
Hey, Chaim, what's the balance here for the final nine games of using Arroyo and Iglesias? Obviously, a nice pickup for Iglesias, but you can't use them in the postseason. So how do you balance that now going forward?
Yeah, it's an awesome problem to have. And, you know, we'll obviously we kind of have to make sure we have to make sure we get in, right? All these games matter. Iggy's been incredible. And, you know, that's not to slight Christian. There's some rust we know we're going to have to knock off. It was nice to be able to separate that game last night so we could get him in there and give him a chance to get his feet wet a little bit at the big league level. And we know he's a good player, too. And we know that if we do get in, only one of those guys is going to be eligible to play for us. So we have to make sure we have Christian in as good a spot as possible. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think that's one of the things, you know, for Alex and the staff on a daily basis to think about. You know, hopefully we'll be able to accomplish both and let both guys contribute. I think the way that things usually unfold, it's usually not so easy as, hey, we just prioritize nine guys and jump on their backs. It usually takes the whole roster, so I'm sure they're going to both get opportunities to contribute. We got to get in first, so that's first and foremost, you know, making sure we're doing the right things to do that. And I have a feeling they're both going to help us if we're going to accomplish what we want to.
Chris Sale has a murky history with these alternate uniforms. He did say yesterday he likes the yellow jerseys. Were you concerned that he was going to cut these up at some point?
No. I mean, I guess had that happened, we would have had to figure it out. You know, I'm glad he likes them. I think, look, right now, how could you not like them with the way we're playing when we wear them? It's actually been really cool to me just to see. You know, they're not going to be for everybody, and I don't think anybody thought they were when they were rolled out. But even, you know, not just within the organization, but you can see fans. You know, I see it at the ballpark. You know, I know it's a tough jersey to get your hands on, but I've seen, you know, those things sold out in a second, and fans are wearing them, and it's a great. That's kind of the purpose of this. It's an alternate uniform. The Red's not going anywhere, but it's a great another way for fans to connect to the team in a way that, as Chris pointed out, is really, really special to the city. It holds a lot of significance to the city, to this community, and to the organization when you consider how, you know, the significance that the Marathon took on in that 2013 season after the tragedy that happened.
Well, Haim, we've been trying to get our hands on some of the merch, some of the jerseys, and we were having a hard time. We were wondering if you had any strings you could pull, maybe some swag bags.
I mean, shilling for a free sweatshirt. This is shameless.
You're getting outside of my department now, man. We're just trying to get in the postseason here. I don't know about merchandise.
Getting into the postseason, how long could you guys wear these uniforms? I know that it's been said you guys are going to wear them as long as you win, but if you get in the postseason, continue winning, are you even allowed? Will the MLB allow that?
That's a really good question. I'd love to find out because it means we continue to stay hot. I don't know the answer to that, but like I said, I'm hoping we need to find out because it means that we continue to play as well as we've been playing all the way into October.
And this came up earlier. On the secondary market, what would you guess would be a more expensive ticket? One game playoff at Fenway or Tom Brady's return to Gillette?
Oh, that's another one where I'm way out of my depth trying to answer it. I think I'm going to guess. Look, we have, I think they got more seats in Foxborough than we have. Yeah. So that might give us the advantage just from an inventory standpoint. But that is a shot in the dark. I don't know. You guys know the answer?
I have no idea because it's not on sale yet, that one game playoff. So we won't know.
We're not That's sure, fair. But it is amazing, Haim. The last time you were on, myself and everybody around me was basically telling you should be fired. Now you're on today. We're begging for sweatshirts and playoff tickets.
Right.
If I was a betting man, I'd probably say the Patriots only because of Brady and Belichick, but
it'll be pretty close.
Yeah.
But if I get one of those jerseys in the mail, I can easily change my opinion.
And
based
on what Curtis said, you can now go back on Twitter. Because I remember talking to you right after that, and he said, don't pay any attention to what they're saying on Twitter. So,
well, and we've talked about it on this show a bit. Haim, I'm curious of your outlook on it. We've been talking about how maybe fans hold other teams in New England to a higher standard, that they're more critical when it comes to front office and coaching. With the Red Sox than they are with any other team. Do you guys feel that way?
You know, I don't know, but if that's the case, we welcome that. I mean, the great thing about this is that it matters so much. You can't expect to have the most passionate fan base in the game and not be held to a high standard. And you got to expect that there's going to be a lot of opinions. We may not agree with all of them, but you know, there's no way you can get that passion without, you know, those kind of expectations, and we welcome it all. We want it. It's the same passion that makes Fenway such an amazing place to host a playoff game. And hopefully if we continue to play well, we'll be able to do that here. It all comes together. People care so much. I'd be more worried if that wasn't happening. And so the fact that it does happen, the fact that people have really strong opinions, even if some of those opinions aren't what we hope they would be, it's all part of it. I mean, that's part of what passion for sports is, and passion for baseball is about, and nobody has more passion than our fans.
All right, well, finish it up, or tell the guys to finish it up, and we will talk to you again, and maybe it'll be approaching playoff. I don't want to jinx anything, but approaching one-game playoff
time. I lost you for a second there.
Oh, good. You didn't hear me jinx anything.
You got our address, right?
Yeah, I lost you for a second.
Send Wiggy the double X. Is it double X? Or
double X and an 8.5.
An 8?
Yeah, I'm an 8.5.
Looks more like a 12.5.
Wow, that 8, I think, is as big as they go.
All right, Haim, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Sounds good. We'll rummage around here and see what kind of swag we can find for you guys.
All right. Haim Bloom, Red Sox front office report. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.